Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now, following a series of food poisoning scandals involving foreign foods earlier this year, remember the berry scandal?
Oh, how could we, you forget?
We chucked some. Chris went through the freezer, and I think we chucked some. They looked nice on the packet, but we said, no way. We threw them out. Prime Minister Tony Abbott ordered Industry Minister Ian McFarlane and Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce to prepare a proposal for Cabinet by March, but that's now been delayed. I think it's going way out to August or September. To allow further industry consultation. Food Legal's managing principal is Joe Lederman. He's on the line to have a chat with us about all this labelling business. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, good morning, George.
Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, hi. We were wondering where we're up to with this, and we got to say we take it from the customer's point of view, if you know what I mean. We're just wondering what people really want with labelling, because we have been mucked around enormously over recent years with labelling. What looks like happening this time?
Well, I think, it's going to be up to the government. I don't think they quite know, and that's why they're sort of putting it off till August or thereabouts. They've said now they want consumer testing of the new ideas, whatever those ideas are going to be. And they're talking about also allowing particular logos or smartphone apps and not just specifically what the law should say. I have my own views on what it should say compared to what it says at the moment.
I think the one that really annoys me probably most is the one that says made from local and imported ingredients, which can mean anything, can't it?
I mean, it can. Local and totally and meaningless.
You're totally meaningless. So where do you go on it, Joe? What's your view?
What do you think, Joe?
Well, my view is that we should be doing what the New Zealanders have done. Basically, they don't have any mandatory requirement for country of origin labelling. In other words, everyone assumes in New Zealand that if no one's put anything on the pack, let it be assumed that it came from overseas. If you want to say product of New Zealand, that's what you must use. So it's product of New Zealand and it's a voluntary claim, but those who want to make the claim can make it. It's a positive statement, and they have to live by it, and it has to be fully substantiated. Yeah. Now, none of this wishy-washy made in Australia, and we also have product of Australia, but it's mandatory to choose one or the other, and you're allowed the lowest common denominator.
That sounds fabulous.
Except, I like what you're saying, except with one slight differing point here. When we had the problem with the tuna, and there was a big fuss over tuna, and we were looking, you can't get Australian-made tuna and so on. Tuna is made in different locations around the world, and I think it was a factory, was it in Thailand or somewhere that people weren't happy with?
I
still do like to know where it comes from. And so, for example, let's just say hypothetically, I don't want the stuff, whatever it is, from Thailand, but I'm okay to take the product from, say, Japan or the United States. And it'd be nice to know which comes from where.
Yes, well, that might be achievable without mandatory labelling if there's an app that you put your phone on the actual scanned label and it tells you where it has come from for that batch.
Yeah.
Now, that may be a technology that solves the problem.
Yeah. Are you thinking along the lines that as we move forward with technology, that we'll become more reliant on having an app with us on our phone rather than actually picking the item up and looking at a label?
Well, I would say you should have some information on the label as much as you need.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's precious real estate. You don't have much room on a label. And the more you put on, the less people read. I mean, I think one of the most ridiculous things is we have they're asking for more label on beer and other different types of drinks. Now, who is going to be looking in the middle of the night in a nightclub at what's on the label?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe.
And most of the food served in restaurants, no one's looking at a label. Yeah, the issue is how can you get it when you want it?
Yeah.
And if you really want it, you'll have an app. It's no big deal to just scan the barcode and you'll see where it comes from.
Good point.
It wasn't until that tuna scandal that George and I went out. We did our own surveys and went to the department stores that we discovered that it was very, very difficult to find where it came from or where it was made, and they were all made in Thailand. Now, it's almost as though they were trying to hide the fact that they were made in Thailand, and we wondered why, because they were all coming from the same place. And
Oh, I don't think there's... I think anyone who knows anything about the fishing industry here knows that there's, you know, there's one fishery, Tassal in Tasmania, that still has a cannery connected to it.
Listen, Joe, Safcol salmon.
Safcol used
Yeah, exactly. And it stood for South Australian. And that's now from overseas. But a lot of people... See, here's the point, and it's taking up the point you made earlier. People don't read that finely, and if you're in a nightclub and so on. So if you've bought Safcol salmon for the last 30 years when it was in South Australia, you might not realise it's now made in Indonesia or in Thailand.
In fact, in our initial discussion, and I pride myself on knowing quite a lot about fishing, I said, oh, yes, we still manufacture it down there in South Australia, South Australian Fishermen's Co-op Limited, only to find out they haven't manufactured it there for donkey's years, but still operate under the same name, and it comes from Thailand.
Yeah, well, one of the problems is there are so many indicators of which could confuse the customer. It's the brand name often has Australia in it. The name of the company whose address has to be an Australian or New Zealand address on the label. So you're always going to see an Australian or New Zealand address anyway because that's a requirement, a mandatory requirement to put the street address of an Australian street address.
But
so you're always going to have that confusion.
Mm.
Well, I think that the problem is that everyone should know that there's always going to be an Australian address on it, and therefore anything you say about made in or the brand, you know, people now starting to put in Australian owned. There's no law about Australian owned. It's just another claim.
Yeah,
you could have something that has a kangaroo on it.
Yeah, like dolphin friendly, which they put on the side of the fish.
Voluntary claims.
So
everyone's making voluntary claims.
I do like that New Zealand idea where you pick a product up because they are a very small country. They're smaller than we are.
They're good marketers.
Yeah, I know they are. We love New Zealand a lot. You pick up an item in a supermarket. And if it's made in New Zealand, it says so. And if it's not, it doesn't. They don't have anything
else. That's a fabulous idea.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. So
a simple idea, but it's too complicated for, let's say, the farmer groups who've always blamed the fact that the people aren't buying their products or whatever. And they're saying, look, it's because they didn't know it was Australian. Now, it's true. A lot of Australians will not buy from certain countries, and you know who, and we know who they are.
Yeah.
And they want to know what is the alternative. So that they can look and they can know. But there are also some people who will buy and they don't want to buy the Australian product, believe it or not. There's been recent study of a big beer group that wants, they sell boutique beers and they were licensing the boutique from overseas.
Yeah.
They wanted to buy it from the boutique manufacturer overseas. They didn't want the boutique license name made in Australia.
Well, again, that's the market. People are free not to want Australian products if they don't want them. When do you think, Joe, that we'll have the action? Are we looking before Christmas?
Oh, look, who knows? We might even have an election between now and then.
you're dead right. Who knows?
Let's wait till after next Tuesday and see what happens with that budget, eh?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right, look, thank you very much for coming on. Enjoyed having a chat with you.
No worries.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you very much.
Joe Lederman, who's the commercial lawyer managing principal of Food Legal. I think that's a really interesting idea about New Zealand. However, I still like to know which country it comes from. But there are so many claims. And that one of those tins of tuna that I ended up buying, it had dolphin friendly. Then it had a little fishing rod on it to say that it was line and tackle or something.
That's
and
a
I'm
worry.
reading. Yeah, but where is it made? Mm. Where does it come from? Where is it coming from?